Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, in the first half, we got lead guitarist for Twisted Sister. Very funny, interesting guy in on the show and much more. I'll tell you about news as well. First, I'll tell you about Madison Reed. Mr. Madison Reed's been making great products for women for all these years. Lynette loves this stuff. I think Gina uses it, too. And now there's Madison Reed Mister. So you, it's a gray blending, natural looking color for your hair and beard. You can check out the before and after shots on the website. They look great. No shoe polish look. No, thank you. Maybe just want a little more pepper and a little less salt. Madison Reed Mister makes it easy to find the color match on the website. You order the kit, you match it to your color, shows up in a nice box, put the gloves on, put the activator in, put the color gel in, wait 10 minutes, rinse, and you get this natural-looking color. The color God made your hair. Back again. Madison Reed Mister, right, Dawson?
Go to MadisonReedMister.com. That's MadisonReedMister.com. And use code ADAM10 for 10% off plus free shipping on your first box. Again, that's code ADAM10.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
Hey, folks, I got good news and bad news. Bad news first. We're sold out of this month's nut. Good news, you can still get all of the incredible products in this month's Adam's Monthly Nut at their respective websites. To get Gary's Cousins Miraculous Dessert Clusters, head to chunknibbles.com. To draw with Baby Shit Brown and Golden Shower Yellow, head to offensivecrayons.com and use promo code CorollaCrayons to save 15%. TierraOso.com has got the coasters you need. And finally, head to TravelClean.com and use promo code ADAMSHOW20 to get your Travel Clean kit for the skies. A big thank you to all of our awesome sponsors for this month. We'll see you next month for a new offering of Adam's Monthly Nut. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, from Twisted Sister, J.J. French. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a round of Q&As, courtesy of Stereo. And now, celebrating Hanukkah by spending the next 8 days trying to spell Hanukkah. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on your mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Hey, I'm Bald Brian.
Hey, now.
Well, somebody tweeted me a story out of Los Angeles, which is absolutely bizarre from a timing standpoint, because, as you know, we had Adam Ray in here yesterday, and his car was attacked by a homeless person wielding a hammer. Yep. And then I proceeded to go on a diatribe about these building tools are weapons, essentially, and all the homeless people are building everything out in the street, so they're going to have tools, and thus they're going to have weapons. Then we discussed how a surprise doesn't happen more often. And then I went on to tell the story of Max Kellerman's brother, who was killed by a guy named the Harlem Hammer, with a hammer because he let him crash out on his sofa. And then I got the news story which happened 12 hours after that discussion. And Dawson, you have it.
A man was beaten to death with a hammer Wednesday night by a homeless suspect who he had allowed to live in the backyard of his South Los Angeles home.
This is crazy because Max Kellerman's brother allowed this guy to stay in his apartment.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Holy moly.
By the way, Garcetti, Mayor Garcetti's been the genius who says, hey, when these prisoners are furloughed or released, we owe them our gratitude. And Hey, why not let homeless people live on your lawn? Why not?
Well,
why not let homeless people live in your backyard?
Yeah.
Here we go.
More logical argument might be that the people who are out of prison are back to zero.
Right.
Paid their debt.
Right.
They've climbed their way back to even.
Yes. And the kid, the homeless guy can just live in your kid's play castle in the backyard. That's all right.
Well, I'm sure the mayor's house has enough room and enough bedrooms in Larchmont that he can accommodate most of them.
Oh, yeah. All right. So,
or
sorry.
Hancock Park or wherever.
Go ahead. Getty House or whatever it's called. Go ahead.
The violent murder occurred at about 6:30 p.m. 1,000 block of West 98th Street, according to sheriffs. Deputies responded to...
Oh, it's 6:30 p.m.?
6:30 p.m.
Oh, I thought Max Pet said a.m. or
no, the article
before.
Came out this morning, but it was from last night.
This attack with the hammer happened about 3 or 4 hours after we were talking about being attacked with a hammer.
Deputies responded to a report of a fight to find the victim with a head injury in the backyard of his home. He died at the scene. The sheriff's department reports he was not immediately identified. The male suspect was arrested a short distance away. Deputies learned that the victim had allowed the suspect, who was homeless, to live in his backyard. The two got into an altercation, and the suspect struck the victim in the head with a hammer and ran away. The suspect's name and the charges he faces were not immediately released.
Well, thanks to our new DA, he'll be out and be issued a court-approved hammer. When he's
he'll get a Medal of Honor from Gascon. Yeah,
when he's paroled in 3 days.
As far as ways to go, I would very much not like to be killed by a hammer if it's all the same to you guys.
Yeah, I'm kind of I kind of like the hospital bed in my lavish living room surrounded by great grandchildren. I think that's got to be toward the top of the list.
Right. And playmates or, you know, however half went.
Yeah, however half went. So there you go. Homeless people, tools, hammers, violence, death. And surprised, as we, I think, said yesterday, I'm surprised this shit doesn't happen more often. God's honest. And it's, well, it's gonna. I mean, it has to. Just more homeless, more weapons, more hammers, more hacksaws, and more pry bars. And here we are, everybody. So, I don't know. I feel like this could be a wake-up call. Perhaps we should snap into action.
It won't.
We do have rules, though. Now, you know, I think the sign entering California should read, rules for those who follow rules, which is if, in fact, you pay your taxes or have a business or follow rules, then you just get more rules. And I was informed that any business that has more than 5 employees has to have all of their employees undergo an online sexual harassment and workplace harassment webinar, and it has to be completed and it has to be turned in. Otherwise, you shall be in violation. Now, you're not in
violation. Caitlin, bad news. You're out of job.
You're not
going under 5.
You're not in violation if, in fact, you want to live and defecate on the streets, and you're not in violation if you want to drive without a license, and you're not in violation if you would like to sell food that you made at home out on the street with a shopping cart. But you shall be under violation if you do not comply with these sexual harassment rules. But you know they have to be comical. So I think we had Megan at the other shop take the survey, or take the—I don't know what we're calling it—the form
course.
Take the course, Max Pad. Do you have that course?
Yeah, I have some screenshots here. I'll just put them up. So it is a really annoying course where you can't fast forward through it, and has those automated voices that read you everything out loud. But here's the title card: Sexual Harassment Prevention for Employees. We have a very varied array of people as examples.
Yes, we have an Asian, two black men, a heavyset gal, and a lesbian, I don't know, road worker, or is that a guy?
Fail this course just in the first 5 seconds.
Hey, where are the white women at?
Yeah, there are no – well, there's one in the middle, but let's go through a few of these slides.
Are there any white men in this five shot?
Yeah, there are. You'll see them.
Well, who am I looking at on the homepage?
Oh, not in this shot. But they use different people throughout the slideshow.
Okay, well, it's important.
This is just their opening title card.
According to TV commercials and all these kind of promos and pictures and stuff like that, in the last 3 years, it appears to me that black people represent 71% of our population, but they're only 13%. So it's always weird how heavily weighted it is whenever I see a commercial or one of these. But all right, go ahead. What are we going to learn?
All right, so here are two hosts or our guides. This is Nicole on the left.
Uh-huh.
She's an attorney.
Uh-huh.
And Brian is on the right, and he is the HR guy, Brian with an I.
Oh, yeah.
And they introduce themselves, and they say the topic of sexual harassment has been brought into the national spotlight again with the hashtag MeToo movement. This has created renewed awareness about the serious and unacceptable nature of these actions.
It's unacceptable. Well, there's a lot of things. You know, it's weird in a world that is essentially turned into Thunderdome. There's still a lot of things that are unacceptable that we have zero tolerance for. I wonder if the Weinstein Agency check this out before the shit went down. But all right, here we go.
All right, so this is Nicole. She says, in my job as an attorney, I'd found that workplaces that tolerate inappropriate, abusive, and demeaning conduct have more of it. Workplaces that do not tolerate inappropriate, abusive, and demeaning conduct have less of it.
That's a pretty complicated algorithm.
Yeah, let me write that down. I'm having trouble with her math.
You should take notes. There are quizzes throughout.
I was a little distracted because she's pretty hot.
Yeah.
You don't see attorneys...
Looking good, that pantsuit.
I mean, look, anyone who's sat next to Mark Garagos on a flight knows attorneys don't look like that. But all right.
Speaking of attorneys, we should ask Garagos, but on my hunch, and this would be racist if I was saying about someone else, but my hunch is that the vast majority of sexual harassment is by older white men, of which we see none in this slideshow.
That's a good point. So she's saying if there's a workplace that tolerates sexual harassment, there's going to be more sexual harassment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Slow down.
All right. So let's just say, let me give you an example just to make sure I'm thinking this right. And then one that doesn't tolerate it, there'd be less.
Yeah. That,
right.
According
that's,
to her.
That's right.
So you're saying like if the workplace was vegan, there'd be less ribs?
Less beef.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Now, I think I follow you now.
Okay. Good.
Okay. Good. Here we go.
All right.
I wonder what this fucking cost us, by the way.
And then she goes on to talk about creating a workplace of respect.
All right.
And here's some examples of rude behavior, unacceptable rude behavior. Not greeting people who say hello.
By the way, do we really want the government to have dominion over how we greet people in our fucking
etiquette?
Workplace?
That seems bizarre. Almost unnecessary overreach.
It's getting a little Orwellian here, people, but sorry. And this stuff needs to be completed and turned in by when?
There are about 130 of these slides. It takes about an hour, and you have to complete it before January 1st, 2021.
Or you'll be in violation?
Yeah. It used to be 50 or more employees would have to do this. Now it's 5 or more.
Is there a business that could call themselves a business that has under 5 employees? I figure like that's not even really that's you selling shit on eBay from your futon. All right, sorry.
All right, also rude behavior, intentionally excluding someone from normal workplace conversations and making them feel unwelcome.
Mm-hmm.
Failing to say thank you. Interrupting coworkers and responding with frequent sarcasm or anger to normal interactions.
Oh, Adam, you're in violation, buddy.
Yeah.
They're coming after you.
Hold on, dipshit. Is this real?
This is actually also, Adam, this is for employees. There's actually an employer version that you're going to have to watch.
I'm going to talk to Garagos about it. I don't like this fucking overreach. I don't think the powers that be should be getting. I mean, they're fucking involved enough with our shit in California. I don't think we need more of this. I think I might be a conscientious objector to this. I'll talk to Gergos about it tomorrow.
Yeah, there's a lot of
manners and etiquette.
Weird for sexual harassment.
Yeah,
right?
Don't feel prosecutable.
Yes.
Right, here's the first quiz. Let's take a moment to think about your behavior. Do I fail to say thank you? Do I interrupt people? Do I pass judgment on others who are different? Do I put others down? Do I not treat everyone with respect? Do I make belittling comments? Do I reject feedback? Am I silent when others are being uncivil? Do I engage in microaggressions?
Oh, boy.
Do I yell in the workplace?
How does one define a microaggression? The problem with all this shit is there's going to be no such thing as you not being involved with a microaggression if someone accuses you of a microaggression. Tim, he fucked up the microwave with a frozen burrito and then he just went home. I'm going to look at that as a microaggression. All right.
And then if you did not answer no, ask yourself, what could I have done differently to create a workplace of respect? And then there are a few different examples of people who have had sexual harassment or have been sexually harassed. Like this one, for instance, this is Kaya. Oh, and all these are like very they're like the robot voices, robot generated voices, but they include really heavy accents.
Oh,
like,
really?
Especially if they're Asian or Latino.
Also, Adam, when's the last time you saw a very good looking petite Asian woman on the construction crew?
Oh, I've seen them on Chain Gangs, but I've never seen them on the Caltrans thing. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Gina, you should read this one because it's a female voice.
I would definitely, if this chick was anywhere near the cone zone, I would definitely slow for the cone zone. I might even come to a stop and rub one out.
Fines are doubled.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this is what Kaya has to say.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Kaya. I work on a construction site as an engineer.
Mm.
Often, male employees make crude comments about women they see walking down the street. The construction workers make comments about women's breasts and buttocks and whistle and catcall at women.
Mm.
They talk about their sexual
conflicts. Hey, toots nice buttocks.
Over the weekend.
I'm an elbows and knees man myself, but I get it.
Oh, look at those joints.
Often showing nude pictures of the women they slept with on their phones. All this makes me very uncomfortable. I asked my coworkers to stop this raunchy talk. The men told me to stay out of their business. I feel very hurt.
Well, this is going to solve a lot of problems.
That's a pretty extreme example of some very obvious sexual harassment. Hey, look at this nude. The girl I banged.
This is like a children's book with an adult theme, but it's written. Do we have any audio of that weird accent?
No, the thing is, it's like a different program, so I couldn't rip any of the stuff.
Oh, okay.
But this is Alex. I'm Alex, and I work at a warehouse.
Alex. Is he also Asian?
Yes, Alex is Asian, and his accent was heavy.
This. Oh, okay. But Asians are like 6% of the population. Why do we get two in a row? All right.
These are just a few of them. I'm Alex. I work at a warehouse stocking shelves. I would like to be a supervisor.
Hold on a second. His Asian parents must be fucking devastated.
It's rough, yeah.
All that fucking tutors, all the time we spent teaching you the piano, and you work fucking stocking shelves.
I would like to be a supervisor and make more money. My boss, Gerald, told me that I am very cute and sexy.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Gerald also said if I went on a date with him, that he could get me a job as a supervisor. I don't want to date Gerald. These comments made me uncomfortable, but I want a promotion. Since I want a promotion, I went on a date with Gerald, my boss.
I need 10 more slides.
Well,
this storyline
is Dawson knows the phrase: no head, no backstage pass. You want to get kicked up that ladder? You got to blow Gerald.
I think Dawson has to read this one.
Yeah, the game is played. Oh, we got a white guy.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got
Dawson. I'm recruiting you.
Dawson's getting his glasses.
He's wearing
his name's Mike.
He's wearing his indoor scarf, which I always like. I like that look on a gent.
It'll
make Mike,
sense
he's talking about you fuck ass. I'm Mike, and I am gay. I work in an office with a team of five men. Two of my coworkers tease me about how I dress.
Hey, and so my, it's less than 50%.
And my partner, James. They say I am not a real man. They also joke about me having sex with other men. Anytime there are new employees at the office, they tell them that I am gay.
Well, by the way, we can tell you're gay from outer space because you're wearing a scarf indoors.
I am very uncomfortable with my team members.
Yeah, this is a hostile work environment.
Hey, you have sex with other men, because that makes you gay.
Ha! Hey, welcome to the team. This is Mike. He's gay.
Yeah. All right, let's do one more.
Tony.
This is Tony. Brian, you want to take it?
No, because I can't read behind the box.
Yes, it is small. All right. This is Tony. I'm Tony. I'm a preschool teacher. My female colleagues, even some of the parents of my students, keep making comments to me like, I'm surprised you work here. This is a job for women. Or, men are not usually nurturing of children. Or, if you want to do this job, you must be gay, right?
Yeah, you got to blow Gerald.
That's right.
I try to laugh these comments off, but I don't like being boxed in by stereotypes about men. My boss, who hired me for this job, knows that I think these comments are inappropriate, but hasn't taken any action to stop them.
Wow,
I'm sorry. Oh, you poor thing. Men aren't usually this nurturing of children. Great job. Is that an insult?
I don't know. What kind of fucking kindergarten is this that your boss won't intervene?
Everyone's dressed like appropriately for their job, except Tony, who is dressed in a fucking nice suit. He's going to a funeral or a wedding.
Yeah, he looks like the host at Nobu.
Yeah, that's not who you are to preschool.
Yeah, why is he getting all dappered up to go teach one-year-old shit?
Privilege.
Oh, white privilege. All right. But is he gay, or we just call him gay because he's working with the young kids?
He's a confirmed bachelor.
We shouldn't even ask.
You're right.
None of your P's and Q's.
Right. So what's etiquette? I would see him and go, you're not gay, are you? Would that be cool? Is that? I don't know. I'm asking.
Yeah.
You're just asking.
I'm just asking. All right, everybody. This is where we're at.
This goes on for an hour.
Now, this is going to be mandatory. It is mandatory. And then if you don't comply, you're going to get into trouble. Just like if you opened your restaurant for outdoor dining, they will pull your liquor license. It's a lot of overreach here. A lot of overreach. I don't know. I say it every time. Not sure why it's attractive. Don't know why you think we're heading toward a brighter future with the government just sort of controlling everything. Yeah. Like a little less regulation and a little more business. But I don't know. People seem to like it this way. And by the way, everyone's just going to work for the government, because why the fuck would you run a business anymore?
You can't.
It's just like you can't run a business. I don't. Is the government's end game just to get everyone to work for the government and have no tax base? Like, I don't know what their plan is.
We've talked about it before, but the obvious answer is the lawyers get involved. You want to avoid a lawsuit or at least mitigate a lawsuit? Have everyone take this quiz or survey or course or whatever.
Right, but it's unnecessary because the government's imposing it on small businesses. So small businesses are going to have to deal with HR stuff their own. I don't know. This is please the government, otherwise there's going to be punitive shit. I'm going to talk to Mark about it, because my thing would be, fuck you. Fix the fucking homeless problem. Fix the traffic shit and leave me the fuck alone. And everyone should just go fuck off. I'm not doing this fucking shit. These are fucking retarded assholes. And they've proven themselves to be wildly incompetent anyway.
Yeah, the website is so poorly done. Like, you watch these five-minute videos. Weirdly, all produced and starring David Schwimmer. And and you have to sit through the credits after each one. There's like a couple minutes of credits at the end of each video they have to just sit through.
The bad news is they're poorly produced. But the good news is I bet we paid top dollar for whoever developed this website. All right. Is J.J. French, the guitarist and manager from Twisted Sister, ready to jump on? J.J.?
He's going to connect into
it. Oh, okay. He's just leaning into that mic. See the gold records in the back. J.J., who's a founding member of Twisted Sister and guitarist, also took over as the band's manager in 1975, which Seems like a couple of hats to wear. Seems like a difficult gig, but we'll talk to JJ about it. JJ, whenever you can hear us.
I'm here.
Oh, good, man.
I'm good. No, we're all good.
How
we're
are
all
you?
Good, man. It's nice to know that you rock guys show up late.
Yeah, we're here. Sorry.
It's okay. We're always getting blamed for that shit, right? We're always like, where are you guys, man? You know?
I had a chance to do Celebrity Apprentice with Dee Schneider, I believe. And I found him to be a nice guy and a really dedicated worker. How you doing? And a car guy, I guess, is well. What's going on with Twisted Sister? I know COVID has fucked everything up, but was there tours canceled and dates canceled?
Well, okay. So first of all, Adam, thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Okay. And helping me enter your world, because this is your world. You're the king of this world, and I am just merely a pawn right now.
I'll give your podcast a plug, The French Connection, The Music Business and Beyond. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Podcast One. So, Twisted Sister, what's the status?
So here's the deal. Here's the deal, right? So the band started 48 years ago.
And, wow.
I need ibuprofen just to say that, okay? But I auditioned to be in the band, and I was the last original member of the band, and I joined in 1972.
Wow.
And a little fun fact, are you a Bob Marley fan, Adam?
No, but I'm well aware of him.
Yes,
and I like the doc.
Okay. Well, here we go. In 1973, what did Twisted Sister and Bob Marley have in common? The answer is no, we did not both wear dresses. The answer is that the drummer for Twisted Sister and the brother for Bob Marley were brothers. And the guitar player for Bob Marley were brothers.
Really?
Wow. The Anderson brothers, yeah. Al Anderson was the guitar player he took over for Bunny Wailer's spot. And our drummer was Mel Anderson, his brother. And when I asked... When I went to the first Twisted rehearsal and he told me that his brother was playing with Bob Marley, I said, I thought you got to be Jamaican to be in Bob Marley's band. These guys are from Newark, New Jersey. And he said, my brother put on a fake Jamaican accent and got hired. And that's...
you could do Jamaica Queens, I guess, right?
Yeah.
That might be
technically.
So that's how we got the gig. And then the band struggled in the bars for 10 years. You know, our documentary, We Are Twisted Fucking Sister, kind of tells that whole story. The band made it in 83, we got signed a record deal. By 88, the whole thing fell apart. And Dee and I were estranged for a long time. You know, and I lovingly refer to him as Sarah Jessica Parker dipped in a vat of acid. That's how I describe his image. In fact, that's how I introduced him on stage, because I read it in a review somewhere and I said, that's the funniest shit I've ever heard in my life, you know? So, and he is a typical lead singer in many ways. He is a nice guy. He fools everyone. No, he actually is a particularly nice guy. It took him a long time to get there. We just did a show. I just had him on my show, as a matter of fact. He'll be on my JJ Friend show in a couple of weeks, my podcast. Then the band went into like a cold storage for 12 years. We didn't talk. And I thought the band would never get back together again. I mean, the band had a horrible breakup. You know, there was lawsuits and bankruptcies and all the shit that you would hear on a behind the music kind of story happened to Twisted Sister. And, I mean, it got really bad. I mean, we weren't talking. I'll give you an example of how bad it got. I'm a New York guy, you know, so I walk down the street and I see guys from New York. They're like, hey, fucking JJ, when you guys getting back together again? You know, when you's doing it? I said, it's not happening. We're not getting it. Come on, man. Everyone's got a number. I said, there's no number. There's no money. You can't put us back. Oh, fuck that. Everybody's got a number. What's your number? I said, let me ask you something, asshole. You ever been married? He goes, yeah. I said, you're divorced? He goes, yeah. I said, how much would it take for you and your ex-wife to go on a bus for 30 days? You couldn't fucking pay me enough to do that. Arrest my case. So the band didn't talk for 12 years, and then 9/11 occurred, and the band got together to raise money for the New York City Police and Fire Department because we're all New York guys.
Right.
You know, AJ is from Staten Island, Eddie's from the Bronx, I'm from Manhattan, D and Mark are from Queens. It's fucking New York. They didn't want heavy metal bands at the Garden. I don't know if you remember that benefit with The Who and Paul McCartney. They did not want heavy metal bands there. They said we were too aggressive. I say, excuse me, the fucking buildings were just knocked down.
Right.
Can we be a little pissed off here?
You know, talk about aggressive.
Right.
So we did our own with Eddie Trunk being the host. Actually, Eddie put it together. The beauty of that was that Twisted Sister had just done a documentary Behind the Music in which we had finally unleashed the hatred within the band. Like, it was broadcast 2 weeks before 9/11, and it was brutal. because the ban wasn't a drug ban. So we had to do something to amplify the discourse, and the amplification was that we hated each other's guts. So this came out in September 2nd of 2001, and then 9/11 occurs. And Eddie Trunk calls me. He says, "Hey, man, I saw the documentary. Jesus Christ, you guys fucking hate each other." I said, "Yes, we do." He said, "Well, if you could get together for a benefit, it would be great." And we did. The reality of that was that the world cared more than we understood. And we came back, and we were supposed to do 1 year as a reunion. And instead, we had a 14-year reunion. Oh. And we toured, and we came bigger than we ever were. We released a Christmas record. I don't know if you heard the Twisted Christmas, but you know, only Jews make the best Christmas record, as we all know.
True.
Well, Chestnuts Roasting on Open Fire was supposed to be Latkes Floating in a Sea of Oil, but I don't think that original line was ever put in there. So we did a Christmas album that everyone thought would bomb, but it turns out that Dee stole the melody for We're Not Going to Take It from Come All You Faithful. So we basically took the We're Not Going to Take It track, and we just redid a couple of chord progressions, and it's Come All You Faithful. So the record was a hit, the video was a hit, the album was a hit, biggest selling Christmas album, heavy metal Christmas album, and the band toured and toured and toured and toured. And I thought, oh my God, this 80s thing has got to be over in a year or 2 years or 3 years. And it kept getting bigger and bigger. Adam, I don't know if you know the size or the love of metal around the world, not in the U.S., but around the world.
I definitely get it. I've seen a few docs, and yeah, they're bands that are appreciated here, but beloved in many other places, countries. And it's always kind of hard to figure out why. You know, whenever I talk to a band, I'll ask them, like, where are you big? And they'll just go, Brazil. And I'll go, why? And they'll go, I don't know.
Well, I can kind of answer that question in a way.
Please.
First of all, Germany, Sweden, Denmark, Holland, Belgium, we play to regularly 60 to 100,000 people a night.
Wow.
In these countries. And we could do it tomorrow if there was no COVID and we chose to play. They worship it as a lifestyle choice. They never walked away from it. 80s metal was derided by critics, as we all know, like shit music, except that it was a people's music in a way. It's very populist. And around the world, it resonated. And as big as we are in all of these countries, especially in Europe, where we've got stuff online so people could see it, these German festivals and these. And also, Twisted Sister is loved by death metal bands, which is something that Motley Crue and Poison are not necessarily loved by, but they love us because our first album had all these nihilistic songs like Destroyer, Knife in the Back, Kill or Be Killed. So we've endeared ourselves to the black metal side of the planet, even though we're a bunch of Jews from Long Island to play soccer with our kids and, you know, have nothing particularly in common, but they love this stuff. So we appear on death metal festivals. But here's the crazy part. We get to South America. Now, I don't know if you know anything about South America, but if you're ever curious why AC/DC and Iron Maiden, even Madonna, have their DVDs recorded in Buenos Aires, it's because they are flat out freaking the most insane fans in the world.
They're live stuff. They're live CDs. They record in front of a live crowd, and you want the best live crowd. So, you know, if you're a stand-up and you're recording a stand-up special, you go to a town that's good for you. You know, there's not many recorded in Los Angeles because Los Angeles is kind of notoriously shitty town. So you end up going to Boston or Chicago, and that's why all the stand-up specials. So if you're doing a live record, a live CD, you want the most raucous crowd. I don't know a ton about Brazil. I know it fairly well from Fast and Furious 6, but that's about all I got.
Well, I got to tell you, we are so big in Mexico, in Brazil, in Argentina, in Chile, in Bolivia. It's insane. I mean, the problem, of course, in South America is that you never really know how many records you sell because I guess the record labels assume there's corruption. So, you know, you have gold and platinum records from around the world, and each one of them says, thank you for selling 15,000. A million in America, in Finland, it's 15,000, and in New Zealand, it's 25,000. It's a number.
But in Mexico,
it just says, por favor, de los muchos recuerdos de los Mexico, which means thank you for selling many records, because
right.
No one knows how many records they sell. This is a true story. I said to my rep, I said, how come there's no knowing? He goes, we have no freaking clue. We just kind of license it out and hope that somebody makes their money back. And we have enormous popularity. In fact, our number one Spotify country is Mexico.
Gina, question?
Really, wow. I'm curious about this. I have... no idea if I'm way off track here, so please feel free to wrangle me. But when we're talking about why these countries, and, you know, Sweden doesn't exactly fit the bill, but I'm wondering if there is, it sounds like there might be some intersection of government oppression, at least perceived that way, and people wanting to rebel against that with rock music. I'm still trying to figure out why these countries are still, it's so personal for them when it's just fun for us.
Well, I tell you, it's fun for them. What's really unusual for me, because I am a manager, so that means I'm watching everything, right? I'm looking and trying to figure out. I talk to people. I want to know what the secret sauce is. You know, why in America is it so, you know, so categorized in a small little compartment? A heavy metal band, hair band, derided, niche thing, doesn't get any radio play, gets no respect, nobody cares. You know, rock is dead in America. Why is it you go to Europe? You go to the festivals in Europe. Most festivals, anywhere from 60 to 100,000 people, and it's multi-generational. It's parents and their kids and their kids, and it's really crazy, right? But the age range in America, essentially for a band like us, is seriously 50 to 75,
right? That makes sense. It didn't get passed down the way it's
But in
down.
Europe, it is seriously 15 to 75. But in South America, and this is the craziest part, it's actually 15 to 25. So in South America, when you're playing soccer stadiums, you are playing to kids who were not born when our records were recorded. And when I ask them, I will walk out of the hotel when I'm not with my bodyguards, and because you need them down there for reasons that you can just imagine. It's crazy in a hotel. But when you ask them and you go, why us? And they go, we love Motley Crue. We love Judas Priest. We love AC/DC. We love Black Sabbath. We love, you know, this is a lifestyle decision that a broad demographic of South American kids have decided is their love. And you know what's strange? They don't love the new versions of heavy metal bands. They don't care that there's Trivium and other bands. They don't really care. They want their Motley Crue, their Judas Priest, their Twisted Sister, their Kiss, their AC/DC. They worship it and they show up in droves. Now we get to Bolivia. Do you guys know anything about La Paz, Bolivia at all?
In Fast and Furious 4.
Great.
All right. Yeah.
So here's the deal with Bolivia. You can't breathe. There's no freaking, you land in La Paz. It's 12,000 feet above sea level.
All right.
So we're a bunch of old Jewish guys. I mean, we're not like 20-year-old soccer players, you know? So we're playing in Chile the night before and I'm doing a radio show and the guy says to me, where are you playing tomorrow? I said, La Paz. And he goes, you're playing La Paz? I said, yeah. He goes, we're not gonna take it. No. I said, what does that mean? He goes, you will find out tomorrow. The plane lands. They open the plane door and you can't breathe.
It's 12,000 square. 12,000 feet above sea level.
Feet. Yeah.
That's insane.
So we can't breathe. So we get up out of our seat. I'm like, we walk outside and there's a hospital there at the airport. They strap oxygen tanks on us, right? There's thousands of kids and the army is there to escort us to the hotel. And in the cars are oxygen tanks. So me and AJ are in one car. D-Mark and Eddie are in another car. We all have oxygen tanks. And we're going to the hotel. And all of a sudden, our car splits from the other car. And I thought we were getting kidnapped. I thought for sure, this is it. My wife will get a letter. And, you know, do you want to see him alive? Whatever. Well, it turns out that the security is so paranoid there. They split the traveling group up to just avoid any problems. We get to the hotel and there's oxygen tanks in the hotel room, right? In the hotel room. Now we're supposed to go on that night. That night, I said to the promoter, what's up with that? And he goes, well, you know, when soccer teams come to play, they do 3 days of acclimation. I said, that's 22-year-old guys, 3 days of acclimation. We're 60-year-old guys from New York. He goes, well, you want some cocaine? And I said, are you serious? We'll drop dead. I said, that's not in the cards. He goes, that's too bad. It's $6 a gram. And I said,
you're leaving money on the table.
And I said, that is too bad. I said, that's a horrible story. And he goes, and it's not stepped on either.
Wow.
Talks him to go.
That's that Bolivian
shale.
And I said, you guys grow this behind the police station? And he goes, probably. Anyway, the thing is, we did the show, and here's the deal. So we're on stage, right? under normal circumstances, I run around stage, except I can't run. I can barely walk. The mic stands 15 feet away. We're not going to take it starts. I very slowly walk up and go, we're not going to take it. It was amongst the fans are unbelievable. I got to tell you, the next day in the local paper, on the national paper, the National Bolivian paper, we were on the front cover and the back cover. They said greatest concert they've ever seen. I don't understand how they could think that because we couldn't breathe. However, I will say that the South American fans are beyond the most incredibly religiously connected fans a band could ever want.
Wow. Yeah, it's funny how we sort of tapped into that, and they are. Or maybe that, you know, I don't know. Maybe they're just more passionate in general. Maybe
that's the word. That is the word.
Passionate about everything. Passionate. Right. Yes. Versus my family. JJ French is the name, The French Connection, The Music Business and Beyond. It's a new podcast available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Podcast One. I would recommend it because, as you've just heard, JJ is a world-class storyteller and certainly the funniest band manager I've ever come across. So, and his website.
Can I leave you with a great lead singer joke before we go?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's three great lead singer jokes. One is, how does a lead singer change a light bulb? And the answer is he holds a bulb in one hand and waits for the world to revolve around him. That's one. The second one is, what's the difference between a terrorist and lead singer? And the answer is you can negotiate with the terrorist. Okay, that's the second one. But the third one is kind of like an offshoot of another one, but hopefully you'll understand this. So this goes out to all bands with lead singers who will try to understand the mentality of why you have a lead singer. And to be fair to my singer told me this joke. Okay, so it's not out of school, but it says everything about a band and a lead singer. And I will leave you with this last story. And I thank you for having me on your show. Thank you so much. So here's the story. A hotel clerk is standing there and a tour manager runs up to him and says, I got to get the key to room 201 because my singer's not getting up and we have a big show in the arena this evening, and we got to get him up. And the hotel clerk looks at him and says, sir, you know as well as I do, your lead singer was found dead in the hotel room this morning. Tour manager walks away, comes back 5 minutes later and says, I got to get the key to room 201. We got this big show. He's not answering the phone. Hotel clerk says, sir, I understand this is traumatic news for you and all those millions of fans around the world, but you know that the lead singer was found dead in the hotel room this morning. Guy walks away, comes back 5 minutes later. I need the key to room 201. I got to get my singer up. Hotel clerk goes crazy, grabs the guy by the lapel, says, listen to me carefully. All right. Your lead singer is dead. Do you hear me? Yeah. Your lead singer is dead. Do you understand those words? Yeah. Why do you keep asking me to repeat it? And he says, because I love the way it sounds.
JJ French, everybody. Tip your waiters.
Take care, guys.
Thanks,
JJ. Thank you so much.
Thank you, man.
Bye-bye.
That guy's funny. I love that joke. All right. We have the accents from the sexual harassment slides that Chris has pulled up. First, let me tell you about Meter Holidays, the official put on the sweats and hang around the house and eat a little meat, man. It's here. Bluetooth meat thermometer. That's Meter. Keeps an eye on your holiday food and lets you know when it's ready. Brian's been a fan for years of this product. I'm new on to it.
Let me tell you what the real advantage is in the wintertime, you know, December, January, February, why it makes a good Christmas gift. If you're barbecuing, if you're committed to having that, you know, grilled or whatever, pop in there, Bluetooth on your phone, and you can just watch from your couch. Like, watch the temperature just go up. It'll ding when it's ready. It's pretty amazing.
They got a probe. It's got two temperature sensors along with the Meter app you put on your phone. Gives you the countdown on your phone, as Brian just said. It's a perfect tool for cooking. Holiday feast, perfect gift, too. Yeah, nice gift. Get 15% off with code ACS at meter.com. Right, Dawson?
Get 15% off with code ACS at meater.com. 15% off when you use code ACS at meter.com. Let Meter help make your holiday meals absolutely perfect.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll do the news. But right before the news, we'll play you some of those funny accent sexual harassment slides. We'll do that right after this.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Adam. Have you seen the drug commercial where the two smoking hot, well-put-together chicks bonding over their schizophrenia symptoms? Figured you might have some thoughts about that one.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Yeah. It's crazy. We're seeing commercials for schizophrenia medication. Like, it's the cute chick. She's at the park. There's a guy selling hot dogs. Another guy's, like, taking pictures, and she thinks she's a spy and taking pictures of her. And she's paranoid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I did see this. So I thought it was a movie trailer.
It's a crazy commercial. It's good looking.
Oh, she's having hallucinations, essentially.
Yeah. She thinks she's
being spied on. Talk about a snapshot of where we are.
Oh, God. All right. We'll play that clip. We'll play a couple of those accent clips, which I haven't heard.
Yeah, here we go. So this is Alex, the warehouse worker, telling the story himself.
Gerald.
I'm Alex, and I work at a warehouse stocking shelves. I would like to be a supervisor and make more money. My boss, Gerald, told me that I'm very cute and sexy. Gerald also said if I went on a date with him, that he could get me a job as a supervisor. I don't want to date Gerald. These comments made me uncomfortable, but I want a promotion. Since I want promotion, I went on a date with Gerald, my boss.
Jesus.
This is creepy and weird.
Wait, they programmed the accent into the automated computer voice?
I don't know. Like, definitely Nicole and Brian, the two guides, those are totally programmed because they say the same words with the same cadence throughout mm-hmm. the entire thing.
Jesus.
But yeah, this is what you're gonna like this one.
That's
then,
offensive.
Brian.
Tossy should have got that gig.
I know.
This is Anna.
I'm Anna. I am an undocumented immigrant and clean buildings at night. One night, my boss told me to clean a bathroom. I was alone, and my boss followed me into the bathroom.
Hold on, pause it for
he
a second.
Pushed me against the-
yeah, cleaning a bathroom is not a team sport, so you're almost always going to be alone in that stall. I just want to give people a heads up, you know? When you're cleaning...
Because the plot thickens.
No one's ever cleaned a toilet and went, hey, get a little hand here. Hold the cleanser and the brush.
Plenty of room.
Plenty of room. All right, here we go, sorry.
And clean buildings at night. One night, my boss told me to clean a bathroom. I was alone, and my boss followed me into the bathroom. He pushed me against the wall and grabbed my breasts. Luckily, I escaped. Later, he threatened to have me deported if I did not have sex with him.
Wow.
I am terrified.
It doesn't get more sexual harassment than that. That's textbook sexual
this
harassment.
Is like, yeah, this is beyond.
There's a lot extreme. Of yeah. There's a lot of range in these videos. First, you're getting in trouble for not saying howdy to a coworker, and now you're right. Pushing people against a bathroom stall and copping a feel,
and threatening to have them deported.
Yeah, a lot of range in this criminal behavior. All right, we got one more.
Yeah, we can do one more. This is Anton.
Anton. Oh, I was hoping he was black. Sorry. Go ahead.
My co-workers and I get drinks after work at a local bar on Friday afternoons. At the bar, Sandy, my boss, rubbed my thigh under the table and reminded me that in the next month, management will be deciding who gets to work in the off-season. I backed away and felt frozen. I am not interested in Sandy and felt uncomfortable, but don't want to say anything.
I'm sensing a theme.
But let me ask you this. I don't want to be devil's advocate, but let's say you go out to a bar with some coworkers after work and your manager, Sandy, starts rubbing your inner thigh and you are interested in Sandy. Does that
it's
make it okay?
That's
a great day, but does that excuse Sandy's behavior? Like, they always do this thing where it's like, my supervisor dropped a dry digit on my anus, and then they go, and I'm not interested in this person. I don't know. I don't feel like that should factor in. I feel like it could be a good day for you, but it doesn't excuse Sandy.
That's right.
Also, I feel horrible.
He's still on the hook for this.
I've been in every work environment possible. No one's ever fucking dropped a digit on me or put their hand on my thigh or told me I know how the game was played or anything.
How did you get promoted to cabinetry from the ditch digging?
Oh, I had to blow a guy named Russ.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Were you interested in Ross?
Well, I was interested in not digging ditches anymore.
There you go.
Well, he knows how the game is played.
So I'll call that win-win for me and Ross. All right, should we do our intro for the news?
Give me the news with Greg. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, this story is all about perspective. It's either tragic or awesome, depending on how you look at it and who you ask. A test rocket that Elon Musk one day hopes to send to Mars successfully launched Wednesday in Boca Chica, Texas, and flew several miles into space, but then exploded when attempting to land. And I'll show you the video of that. But despite the explosion, SpaceX termed it an awesome test in a message across the screen. And the broadcast added, congratulations. Starship team. We're watching it right now. It's going down. There's cameras from every angle. It's about to hit the ground and a big old fiery explosion.
Ooh. Yeah.
And so depending on who you ask, success, not success. Elon says this was a good day and, you know, get him next time.
Well, I think he probably would say this aspect of it worked, the launch worked, this particular technology worked, and then that, you know. And bringing a rocket back down to the ground that way is just a Herculean task. And so far, there's just no way to propel a rocket without just tons of super high explosive fuel. There is no...
Well,
yes.
You're right. And I can't think of it off the top of my head. What did they launch that they successfully brought down basically on the head of a pin? What was that?
I don't know the name, but true story, a very good friend of mine used to SpaceX employee number 12 or something. He was like, he joined it up at the very beginning. And he used to be on the team that was in charge of retro rockets that would land the rockets. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of one of those things that we talk about movers where you're like, no one notices if you do a good job, but if you dent the whatever, you know, you're all over your ass. Like, yeah, it's spectacular and kind of whatever when the thing, you know, crash lands or doesn't make the landing. But I do know for a fact they landed several rockets successfully.
Falcon 9, I think.
I took a tour of SpaceX several years ago. It was like
he was there.
Well, yeah, one of the most impressive things I've ever seen. And also when I took a tour of Dan Gurney's shop, I saw some SpaceX production going on over there as well. So it's very interesting. Look, I think we all like this stuff, right? Just innovation and moving forward and the notion that, you know, once you leave it up to the government, it's going to take 25 years. Elon's going to do it in 6. You know, I like that. I love all the shit like the X Prize, you know.
Yes.
They just have a competition. Really, we're going to see if we can get this plane to be powered by the sun and go over the English Channel and carry two people. And it's like everyone just goes at it. And then next thing you know, you get a ton of technology. All right. What else Gina?
Sorry. How many NDAs did you have to sign when you took the tour? You had to have signed something.
I don't recall. I mean,
a gentleman's agreement.
They don't let you into the areas that they don't want you. That they do, but it's pretty much seemed wide open, and it was just so much precision going on. I mean, the tolerances and how everyone machined everything. I mean, it's just so goddamn impressive.
You were probably tumescent.
Yes, I was. So, wait a minute, Gina. You may have crossed the line.
No.
Sexually.
No.
As soon as I look up to,
are you interested?
I said probably.
After I look up to Messen, I may contact an attorney.
True. See that you do. So let's stick with space for a second. A secret group called the Galactic Federation has convinced President Trump that humanity is not ready to learn the truth regarding extraterrestrials, as the Galactic Federation feared mass hysteria. And this is according to the Jerusalem Post and made headlines in the last, I'd say, 48 hours. That's only two of the explosive claims made by this retired Israeli General Chaim Eshed, who headed the country's space security program for nearly 30 years. He said Trump launched the Space Force because of this alien invasion. So supposedly, if you believe General Eshed, extraterrestrials are camped underground on Mars with American astronauts. For years, the aliens have communicated with authorities. They made a secret pact. While these otherworldly visitors research our societies, governments on Earth are trying to get humans to evolve enough to comprehend what space and spaceships are. So we talk about this a lot. And apparently, according to some retired generals who now want to tell all, this is already very much happening. What do you think?
I'd like to see a little more documentation on this particular one before I go in, before I go pot committed. It's funny. You know, it's an interesting time with generals and doctors. So I was saying this to someone the other day, but I had no idea there'd be this many kooky, dumb doctors. And I had no idea there'd be this many kind of tell-all generals. When I was a kid, if you were a general or a doctor, if you were a doctor, you're the smartest person in the land. And if you're a general, you're the most stoic person there was. Yep. And you would never rat anyone out or talk, tell tales out of school or just... You write a book and then try to sell it by, you know, putting some salacious shit in it. I think it's kind of game on now with generals and doctors.
Yeah. Absolutely. But if you're thinking about like the Israeli Defense Force, like they don't mess around. So is this guy nuts or is he just ready to not keep secrets anymore?
Well, living underground on Mars with American astronauts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes the explanation can do you more harm to your cause, like Scientology, like, oh, it's a new religion. It's about positivity and blah, 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 and self-ownership. Like, how nice. Yeah, what happened was there's a fucking space alien who lives under the ground. Okay, you lost me. Same with this. Like, oh, we made contact with aliens. Wow, interesting. Tell me more. Well, they're living on Mars with Americans.
With our people. But I do believe – okay, let me ask you this. Do you believe that when somebody – when a president is inaugurated – that they get, you know, the big tome to all this extraterrestrial stuff? Or do you think that that's not real? Because I believe it.
I'm fairly agnostic. We saw footage taken from fighter jets recently about things that moved in a certain way that nothing we're aware of could move as. Then I think we had some ballistic jet expert guy call in and tell us about these drones.
Shit on our parade.
Right, that it could do this. I feel like almost every time there's something that sounds fairly convincing, there's somebody debunking it. So I'm always just kind of caught in the middle. I will put it to you this way. I would not be surprised if that was in fact what happened or what happens. But
that'd be pretty cool.
But I don't know. We'll find out, because I feel like if Joe Biden gets this information and we let him get on a couple of years and then we sweat him during a news conference, he's liable to crack.
Yeah,
he's going to shout like he makes some fun something about corn pop or something. Yeah. He's like, hey, butter, I got alien friends. Come over there. Take you behind the gym.
They're here. They're over here.
And that's the problem. Hiding in plain sight with old Joe Biden. Nobody's going to believe him anyway.
Yeah. All right. Well, let me hit LifeLock here, Gina, and then we'll keep going. Practice safe online holiday shopping. Only shop websites with URLs that start with HTTPS and have a locked padlock icon to the left of the URL. Don't overshare. No online retailer needs your social security number or date of birth. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. These holidays, you could miss certain identity threats by just monitoring your credit and bank statements alone. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information is being used in their network, they'll send you an alert. Protect yourself with LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can help you feel warm and protected this holiday season. Save up to 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com with promo code Adam. That's 25% off at LifeLock.com. Promo code Adam.
What else we got, Gina?
We got some good news and bad news for Russians and for all of us, but this might be tougher on them. People all over the world are hopeful that this COVID vaccine will lead us back to some semblance of a normal life, but it's leaving Russians in a tough spot because they have to choose between vaccine or vodka. because health officials are warning people that if they receive the Russian-made Sputnik V vaccine, they will have to give up booze for like 2 months because alcohol could weaken the immune system. No word yet from Pfizer or Moderna whether Americans will also need to stay sober with this cocktail, no pun intended, that we're going to get. But with Russians, very important that they don't drink for 2 months after taking the Sputnik V vaccine.
I have a theory about this, which is Russia probably drinks more than any society on the planet. Obviously, it's going to have big time effects on the country, productivity, healthcare, things like that. I think every time Russia comes out with something or recommends something, like they go, you can use this preparation H, but now listen, you can't drink for 2 weeks before you apply it, and then 2 weeks. I think they probably say that about, you want to buy a bus ticket, you want to enroll your kids in school, you want to buy a fishing hat. Okay, but here's the caveat. They probably just do that because they're probably desperately trying to get people to drink less.
Yeah.
Because
That's a good theory.
I don't know what on a molecular level is going on with their vaccine versus our vaccine. And we've heard no discussions about not drinking. Also, as far as I can tell from the Russians, you tell the populace no drinking before you get the vaccine and after you get the vaccine. You're going to be in single digits in terms of folks that are getting that vaccine. Also, as somebody who likes to tilt a few, I don't like the general umbrella where they go, well, drinking lowers your blah, blah, you know, drinking your immune system. So then they go, don't drink. And then they just say for everything. So, you know, if there's ever an issue, there's ever a problem, whatever, just don't drink, because it's sort of like saying it's not going to help. But my feeling, I used to say to Dr. Drew all the time when medications, remember when medications all had the alcohol X thing on the martini glass?
The martini, yep.
What happened? Did something happen to that?
Trust me, there's still some specialty medications out there that do that. But not, they're not the average aspirin or whatever.
I felt like any time there was a prescription medication I got, it had the martini glass with it. Maybe they just stamped it on mine.
They knew who they were doing.
They profiled you?
That's a great bit from Arrested Development with the mom, played by Jessica Waters, who's a kind of an alcoholic, you know, waspy older lady. And she's taking medication, and it has like a kind of a drowsy-eyed person with the martini. It says, Jason Bateman says, but instead, my mother took that as a winking-eyed suggestion.
Well, I would always say to Dr. Drew, I need clarity, because is it the no martinis because it's going to jack you up, meaning this sleeping pill is going to seem like five sleeping pills, or is it because it's going to have a reaction and destroy my liver?
Right.
I want to know. Because I'd like to make a responsible choice.
Like an informed choice.
An informed choice.
I'm sitting here strategizing. Just doing some ballpark math, if the vaccine is available in the spring or the late winter, the best time to take it would be early to mid-February, because you get the Super Bowl. You can drink at the Super Bowl party, but then it's going to – 2 months is going to be done before Cinco de Mayo. So you get that sweet spot. If you have to go 2 months, you got to go between Super Bowl and Cinco de Mayo.
All right. I'll tell the Russians. Are you talking about here? I get it.
I don't know if either one of those are very important to Russians.
Speaking of COVID, more animals testing positive. This time, lions at the Barcelona Zoo. Four of them tested positive for COVID-19. Veterinary authorities said this on Tuesday. It's only the second known case in which large cats have contracted the coronavirus. The three females are Zola, Nima, and Run Run, and Kiumbe is the male. They were tested after keepers noticed they showed symptoms. Two staff at the zoo also test positive, and the outbreak was detected last month. Authorities are still investigating how the lions became infected. What's the crossover here?
Obviously sex, but who?
That's right. Well, there's a couple of suspects, since two staff members also became infected.
Oh, boy. Gerald.
Gerald. Reared its ugly head.
And who forced who? Because a cat, when a cat tells you to do something, you do it.
Oh, yeah, Cassie, the aggressor, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you cannot rape a Bengal tiger or an African lion or even a lynx is a bridge too far.
Yeah, an ocelot, good luck.
Yeah, good luck. Bobcat, forget about it.
No way.
Yeah, you got to do their bidding. And one last cat story. Joe Exotic back in the news, but this is interesting. I think he wanted this to be kept secret, but here we are. So he's trying to get a pardon months before, you know, Trump's out, and so far, no luck. Now he's going to the expert, Kim Kardashian. So he's serving 22 years for hiring a hitman to kill Carol Baskin. We all saw that in the documentary, among other crimes.
I'm the only person on the planet that has not seen 10 seconds of that.
There's two people on the show.
Oh.
Don't see it. No interest. I'm not a fan.
Okay.
Thought it was ridiculous. I thought it was just a crazy people torturing animals. Isn't this great? No good. So he asked Kim to call Donald Trump saying this: no one has to know you did this. And yet we're reporting it. Kardashians, who's doing a 4-year law apprenticeship to become a lawyer, has successfully lobbied to get several people out of prison. So it's not that far-fetched, but something tells me she's not going to go for this.
It'll be interesting. Is she going to take the bar? I mean, it's got to be. She's studying for it. It's got to be.
Yeah.
Got to be coming.
There should be pay-per-view.
Got to be coming. Coming soon.
Mark,
and you know, let's break down the Kim Kardashian game film. You know, like, I know it's all comical. She's going to take the bar, but she's probably smarter than most people we know. Certainly, I mean, she comes from a strong family. Her dad was a lawyer, right?
They've got to be shrewd business.
They're
people
fucking totally shrewd business people. They're Armo, like Garagos. I don't know why. Just because she looks hot in a bikini, should we be that surprised? I mean, I know I know how she makes her living, but what I'm saying is she's a shrewd businesswoman. She's obviously hardworking and focused and diligent and all that kind of shit. I don't know. I wouldn't be so surprised if she nailed that thing.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, we already have evidence that she has gotten people not exonerated, but it gotten them out of prison. So that's already happened. And she's apparently quite good at it. Also, I think that what I imagine, she probably has a lot of help, you know, tutoring. You know, it's not like she's sitting at home burning the midnight oil. I'm pretty sure she can afford to get the best of help for this. So why wouldn't she be able to pass the bar?
And I'll tell you, if you ever get a chance to head down to Garagus's office, you'll see 7 chicks that look like a Kardashian roaming around that place. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Well, let me hit Geico here. Do you own? Do you rent? Do you want to bundle? You want to save money? Go to geico.com. Makes it easy to bundle your homeowners and renters insurance along with your auto policy. Good thing, because you got better things to do. So go to geico.com. Get a quote. See just how much you could be saving. It's easy when you go to geico.com. All right, we'll take a break, and then I'll come back. We'll do some Q&As on the Stereo app, and we'll do that right after this.
Hey, movie lovers. Who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device, because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.